Black History Boot Camp. This is a 21-day walking meditation series powered by Girl Trek. If you are tuning in live, which you can do each week, every weekday at noon in June, then you just heard Etta James, I Just Want to Make Love to You, recorded in 1960 on her debut album, At Last. And if you are listening to the recording, then you don't get the live music, but we hope you enjoyed the intro music that has brought us to this beautiful point, which is the opening place for day one of Black History Boot Camp with your girls, Vanessa and Morgan. I am Vanessa, daughter of Annette, daughter of Olympia, daughter of Katie, daughter of Melvina, and I'm on the line with everybody live. Let me tell the group what we're doing. We have a podcast for thousands of people.
We're live in two places, y'all.
It's called Black History Boot Camp. Hello, everybody. I just want to finish up with the group here, and I'd love for you to listen, if that's okay, Vanessa. And you can edit it out later, producers. All right, great. All right. Well, first of all, welcome to Black History Boot Camp. I love y'all. I've missed y'all. Welcome to the thousands of Black women around the world who are listening and walking with us. We love you. Shout out. You already know me. Let me do my work. All right. So I have a group here, just so you know, in Montgomery, Alabama. We just walked and did some amazing, powerful things. I'll tell you about it one day. But I asked all of them, and I'm going to ask all of you on the phone, what is the bravest thing you intend to do? The Rosa Parks level, Claudette Colvin level, Racy Taylor tell your story level, brave thing that you intend to do over the next 12 months. And I am just telling my group, I hope you chose, I'm back here live. I hope you chose something really brave to do, something bolder than you think is possible, something more audacious than you think is reasonable to do. And I hope that you borrow the legacy of my ancestors and the ancestors of some of you here to push you forward toward liberation work, and that you hope and that you pray for joy and justice and solidarity with a million Black women called Girl Trek. I look forward to talking to you all later about Girl Trek. Liliana is gonna guide you. Is gonna guide you upstairs. It was an absolute honor to walk the streets of Montgomery with each and every one of you. I hope that you had a good time. God was good with us with the weather, and I'll see you later. Thank you so much. Bye. All right, I got. Oh, sorry. Hi, y'all. Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Morgan.
Sorry, I had to work.
That felt really good. We was live from the streets. You got to let the people know what was happening. But this is a live show, you all. And you get to really walk with Morgan and I. And wherever we are walking, you are walking with us. And we are bringing you into the inside belly of the beast of the movement of the most beautiful healing kind of revolution that's happening in neighborhoods. And Morgan is the CEO of that movement. Today is our 11-year anniversary, apparently. I got a text message saying we officially been on the roll call for 11 years.
11 is divine. It's sacred. It's divine. It's sacred. And it's the 10-year anniversary that we brought on the co-founders of Girl Trek, the first original city captains. So shout out to all of those women, to Faye, to Cynthia, to Sandria, to Action Angie, to there is about 25 of y'all that I just am super grateful for. All of the work that you've done and all of the shine that you've brought to this movement. So, y'all, I had to run away from the people. I'm tired. So I can loosen up my jaw. It's all right. Yeah, it was a wonderful group of justice activists from all over the country who are all funded by the same supporter. And they came down to Montgomery, and Vanessa and I led a Black History walking tour here probably 6 months ago. And they invited us back. And Vanessa, shout out to Vanessa, is taking a hiatus from travel because she's brave and she's bold and she needed to rest. And
saying that you need to rest is brave. Healing is just being like, girl, you got to sit down and just receiving. Got to receive what you pray for instead of just trying to sometimes go to the next. And there's ebbs and flows and Tai Chi and Morgan. I'm just grateful that you can be out there in my stead. And it's just, woo. Summer is here. I feel healing. Yes, it is.
It's also sisterhood, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful, actually. I feel energized by the walking, and I feel good.
Yeah.
But mostly... the people want to hear from us because they want to hear from you. Mostly, they believe that Vanessa and I represent an army of a million Black women. Mostly, they care about us because they care about you. And they don't even, let's be real, care about you by name. They care about the power. The power of our collective you. They care about the power of our collective you. So that's where I am in Alabama, y'all. It's hot. Shout out to all the Alabama people. And Key, I just want to say Key Mason is out in here in Alabama too. And she was one of the original founders. She was one of the original founders of Girl Trek. And I want to give her special love because she has had an incredibly difficult week. And I don't know if it's public, so I don't want to make her business public, but I love you, Key. We are with you, Key. And your whole entire Girl Trek community has your back as you navigate and walk through this week. So we love you. All right. Woo! What are we doing today, Vanessa? Vanessa's the lead.
First of all, Morgan, I just posted on Instagram just literally like 2 minutes before I got on the call. Then I couldn't get on the call. And I was like, look what you're trying to do on Instagram. And now you've got technical difficulties. So shout out to our tech assistant behind the scenes, Tyreen, who got us together for this series. She's a young Black mom who's also an assistant of mine, an assistant to the storytelling team. And so Tyreen got me on this call, Morgan. But I posted on Instagram just saying that I've always loved to tell stories. And I always dreamed that God would put me in a place where I could inspire people. And there are times where I'm just like, I have been in a season of really going through it where there's like, I don't know what I know how to do, but I do know how to be honest and tell my story. And I do know how to do it publicly, and I always have. So that's what we're going to be doing for 21 days, girl. We are going to be telling our stories of just two Black women trying to lead this movement, trying to heal, trying to access every resource that we can. We are going to tell the stories of the foremothers, the forefathers, a few current day heroes who just have some sensei masterclass skills and tools and techniques that we can use. And we're going to talk about like, how do we implement them every day so that our bodies inside feel so free and so abundant and not restricted, because that's really what liberation is. Truly, it's an inside job. So we're going to do it while we walk outside, and I walk in my neighborhood in Washington, D.C., just like Morgan said. I'm taking a break from getting on the plane. I am going to slow saunter down on a drive to North Carolina this weekend. I don't know if there's some Girl Trekkers down there, but I'm just going to take a break from that, walk in my neighborhood, walk in North Carolina, walk where it's easy to walk for 21 days. You're going to be walking on your farm sometime, walking in Alabama. Where else are you looking forward to walking to over these 21 days?
Girl, my brain be going into crazy funny places. I've been living on the I've been living in South Carolina on one of them Gullah Geechee Sea Islands, y'all. We're one of them Gullah Geechees, y'all. I've been walking, and I don't know. I have a lot of places that I got to go to in the next month. So let's see. Yeah. Stay tuned.
Okay. I'm looking forward to walking with you, Morgan. And you asked also, what are we doing on this call? In addition to us telling the story of today, I also just want to introduce women to the idea that we are framing this summer as a summer of radical welcome. And we're framing it as a summer of radical welcome, y'all, and it's why we're starting this series with pleasure. And I wonder what you even think, Morgan, like, why do you think we need pleasure right now in this time? Why is this series important right now? But it all comes together for me when I just know that there are so few places that I have a sisterhood of a million women, but somehow I still haven't given myself permission in all spaces to like prioritize myself or get what I need or feel good without guilt. There's just so much stuff I'm holding, and I want to let that stuff go. Like, this summer, goodbye. Sorry, sad girl, summer's over. I'll see you later stuff. You got to go. Like, I want to release so much. And the way I have been able to do that is because I have felt welcomed into a sisterhood where I watch other brave women do it. And I've watched you do it. And I watch just all sorts of people on our team do it. DeAndre, Tyreen, my crew, they do it. My cousins are doing, like, so many women who just are doing it. And it's because we're in this space. And so for me, this summer is about, how does Girl Trek wrap our arms around Black women to know that they are in a safe space to heal out loud? Because that's the only way that we can do it. And we're doing it by having this series where we are walking and talking together. And you should really pull out your phone right now. You should think of a sister who you want to walk with you over these 21 days. And you should be like, I'm out walking with my girls, Vanessa and Morgan. Can you walk with us tomorrow at noon? Question mark. I'm out walking with my girls, Vanessa and Morgan. Will you walk with us tomorrow at noon? And then just put blackhistorybootcamp.com. And then they can join us tomorrow. And then we're going to take a break for the weekend and then pick up on Monday. And so we want to welcome some more women into this experience and not just hold this to ourselves. We want to welcome ourselves home to our body through this experience and shake off whatever we got to shake off. And then, of course, over on Juneteenth weekend, and you'll hear more about this in tomorrow's email, we are going to take over our neighborhoods with welcome walks and make it really easy for you to have a walk. So the summer is like, we're starting this boot camp, and it's really boot camp, y'all. We call it a boot camp for a reason. We got to get everything ready, and now is the time. So that's what I was feeling about this series and the work we're doing, Morgan. Like, I'm looking forward to Pleasure too, because one, I'm dressed like a sex kitten right now, y'all. I got on a flowy like dress. I got on some cat eye sunglasses. I got my head on the wrap. I'm walking with my Italian sandals. And I'm like, because this feels good to me, this sauntering walking that I'm doing right now. And that's the walking I have to give. So all of it is how I'm feeling, Morgan. And just how do you feel right now? And why do you think we need this?
Oh, I love that text message. What was it again? Let me send it to somebody. Hold on. Yep. Pull up my cousin. Let me pull up my cousin. Let me say, hey, Twyla. Let me pull up my cousin. Okay, what was it? We walking.
It says, sis, I'm out walking with my girl.
No, no, East Coast, it ain't 12. So put your real time in, whatever.
Okay, put your real time. Yes, that's the organizer.
She's
in
Kansas. Let me just see. She's on the, what, that's 11 o'clock? Okay, let me see. Okay. Walking at 11 a.m. your time every weekday. I'm making my own stuff up. Weekday this month.
That's right.
Will you walk 21 days with us? And then blackhistorybootcamp.com.
Blackhistorybootcamp.com. Yep.
History.
And if they click register now in the right-hand corner, they get tomorrow's email, day two, in their inbox.
Camp.com to get, I'm putting too much for a text. click register. It's my cousin. You got to give her some details to get day two email.
Email.
Tomorrow.
Right.
I'm going to put it's inspiring because it is. Okay.
It is.
Instant. Okay. Thank you for that. Now, what was the question? Why do we need pleasure? I'm deeply uncomfortable with pleasure. Let's just say that. Let's just put that out there. I'm Church of God in Christ. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. And I'm like that I'm filled. Uncomfortable. My friend Aaron told me that God will give you the desires of your heart. And I was like, I am uncomfortable with that scripture. I'm uncomfortable with the desires of my heart. And so I want to confront that discomfort. I want to confront
I love that word, confront.
Yeah. And when I think of pleasure, I actually don't think of sex and making love. I know this is your first day. He's like, we're going in. But I don't actually think of that when I think of pleasure. Maybe that's my discomfort. But I mostly think of what is pleasing to me, and what is pleasing to me, with the right person, it is pleasing. At the right age, it is pleasing. At the right level of development and consent, it is pleasing. But I just also want to acknowledge that that doesn't always happen. And so for particularly young, trekkers and walkers who are listening, first of all, this is Black History Bootcamp, 21 days of walking meditation, where we talk about Black history. And we walk for 45 minutes. All right? We walk. So if you listening at your desk, I'm just saying, you owe us 30 minutes on the streets. You owe us 30 minutes on the streets. We encourage you. Here go ambulance right here, because we out here walking. That's all I'm saying. And so we encourage you to walk with us so that you can save your own life, because pleasure doesn't matter if you die early. That's what I'm saying. Pleasure don't matter if you die early. We want you to live long and be beautiful and alive and to heal your body long into life. And so our mission is to increase the life expectancy of Black women by 10 years. In 10 years, that's what this movement is about. Go spread that, y'all. This should be the biggest call in the Black community at the noon hour in history. But we need you to make it happen. So yeah, so pleasure for me feels like, do I actually feel this breeze on my face? Do I actually feel the sun on my shoulder? Do I feel the bounce in my feet when I step? Do I feel the fire in my belly and the tremble in my hands when I get passionate? That to me, it feels like pleasing. What pleases me? Like when I taste, do I actually taste? When I say grace, do I actually feel gratitude in the caverns of my body and soul? And so for me, when I think about pleasure, I think about the kind of absolute rapture of being alive. Mm-hmm. The rapture of being alive. And I was thinking about this call, Vanessa, and I was thinking, I know I told you this story, and I usually don't be looking at the camera like, well, I'm going to tell the people listening. I usually just talk to my friends. I do, but you already know this story, so I'm going to talk to one person on the phone.
Yeah,
and I'm not kidding you. So somebody on this phone, sister number 14 on the call, like sister number 14, I'm going to tell you something. When I was in college, it's so funny. I emailed Brian Stevenson this morning because name drop, he's the most powerful liberation worker in America right now. And he's in Montgomery. And I wanted him, if he saw this girl picture on the street, I want him to know he's in town. So he responded, I was like, hey, sister, I'm so glad. You know, he's so amazing. So he's doing truth and reconciliation work around what happened here in the slave trade. I just led a walk from the Alabama River, where Harriet Tubman's niece was about to get sold and stolen from her sister and her family. So she came back on her first radical rescue to get her family. Like, I just emailed my family a radical rescue. And I'm telling you, because there was terror happening down here. There was 160 slavers and slave warehouses that I just walked people by, and that the bravest and the most beautiful of us were held captive and then sold on markets. And I'm just saying, like, we talk about Rosa Parks and Martin Luther King, which happened a century later. But 100 years before that, that's just one, two generations. We were held captive against our will, and nobody talks about it. And these slave caverns and these slave warehouses are still standing. There is a beer garden in one of them right now, Vanessa. It is called Commerce Street Beer House, because this was a commerce for them. That's what I'm saying. The rape and pillaging of Black bodies was commerce. And so I'm just saying this, Vanessa, because I'm saying we have never had a truth and reconciliation. Nobody has ever told the truth about what happened to us. And so I say all that to say I was sitting in college, shout out to Howard University, and we were watching the truth and reconciliation trials with Bishop Tutu, what happened in South Africa. And there was a woman who had been raped by the Afrikaner police, and she had been taken to a warehouse. Now, this is when I was in college. It happened when I was in high school. Apartheid did not happen that long ago. It happened under Clinton. Well, no, that was Rwanda, sorry. Apartheid happened a little bit before Clinton. Don't take the fact. But it happened in our lifetime, right? So I was in high school. So when I was watching in college, the actual truth and reconciliation trials that were presided by Bishop Tutu, this woman is talking about getting an activist like me and you, Vanessa. She was an activist, like our age. She was talking about getting dragged out of her house by the police, taken into a warehouse, and raped.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, first of all, I just want to put a disclaimer out there. There are so many people who have had so many bad experiences with sex. And I just want to put a disclaimer that I want to hold space for you in a way that is the best that I possibly can, with the most care and love and compassion I possibly can. And I want to tell the truth. And so maybe you can't get through this episode, and that's okay. Please join us back on day two when we talk about a different kind of pleasure.
But she, it's funny, Morgan, because we're not even talking about sex pleasure today. This, we're talking about bell hooks, and it's called Make Love. And man, when I tell you that I intended the double entendre of make love, as in you can make love and you can make love physically. But as I was researching Bell Hicks and really her liberation
theory
around...
Hold on, Vanessa.
Around,
let me just finish this story.
Yeah,
let
sorry. Yeah, story, yeah, please. Yeah.
I want to finish it because I want to honor her. She was raped by the police. And as she was being raped, she said she watched them raping her from the ceiling. This is what she's testifying to Bishop Tutu. That she watched them rape her from the ceiling. And as soon as she said that, I bursted into tears in my classroom. Because there is something about that disassociation, that ability to go into some kind of astral spiritual plane in order to survive, that I know. And I don't even know why I know it. I don't even have any experiences of assault. I don't even have any bad sexual experiences in my lifetime, but I have them in my mother's 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 lifetime. And in my cells, I understood exactly what she meant. And from that divorcing of her body and divorcing of our bodies, I understand that it is nearly impossible to reunite, to reconnect to our physical plane, to our physical cells, in order to please ourselves, in order to feel the sun on our shoulders, in order to feel the taste in our mouths, in order to hear the music in our ears, because we are divorced from ourselves. How could we possibly marry somebody else? How could we possibly make love with somebody else if we're not even in our bodies anymore? As a tragic escape lever from the terror that we experienced. Right, God, don't make no mistake, Vanessa. I needed to be right here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Yes, you did for this. Yes, you did. God, don't make no mistakes.
I'm sorry, you were saying something. You were saying, make love.
No, no, you said no. Let that sit in. I hear what you're saying, and that's the answer why. I just want to honor what you said and give breath to it so women can process it, because it was really, I want to say profound, because it was profound, but like, I hate that word, but it was profound. And it's like, because
it was good. It's like,
Morgan, because that's why a health organization that focuses on walking is taking the time and resource in the middle of our day. We don't cancel, like, we still got other work to do, y'all, at real meetings and stuff. But we do this work because we have to have a blueprint. Somebody has to give us instructions. We got to know how. We got to know what it is, because if not, what happens if we don't break free from that way, in the way that you're saying? How can we actually marry somebody and have fruitful relationships? How can we actually engage, like, in life and actually expect the best if we're just so divorced from our heart center and our source? So we got to do it over these 21 days, and we got to learn how to do it over these 21 days.
What was your first experience with physical loving yourself?
Oh, that's a good question. I do a lot of things to self-soothe that I just don't even know are self-soothing until, like, recently, like noticing those things. And I like sing and hum a lot, and in my mind. And it's like, I used to think it was just like the distraction of the words, but now I can even notice it's like the rhythm of it inside of my chest. And I think that I just was in a situation from very little where my body felt physically traumatized. And I just remember, like, just the singing and those type of things made me feel good.
Yeah.
What about you?
For me, I think it was, for me, the when I felt most embodied as a child, mm-hmm. is maybe even a better question, is maybe like sports, maybe like kick. You know what it is? Is I actually felt my family used to play kickball, like at like family mm-hmm. gatherings on Saturday afternoons or evenings or whatever. And I remember in the summer, there used to be lightning bugs, because I was in Kansas. There used to be lightning bugs out, and we was playing kickballs until the dark came and the lightning bugs started coming out. And I remember feeling exhilarated by that, like exhilarated. And then I remember, I remember in Wichita laying on the grass and looking at the stars. And actually, I just had a really bad memory. There's this little boy that like came and stood over me, like with his penis in, on top of my face while I was laying in the stars. I just remember this for a second. And I was just like, people are so vile.
Yeah.
It's just so vile. And it's just like, but maybe, like, I just, you know, I've just been going through like thoughts around this whole series. Like, where did I get, I have a lot of hangups around like feeling like pleasure. I really do.
Yeah.
And
well, your religious background.
Yeah, but it's also my blackness and my and the fear that comes from being a black woman. Yeah, and I feel like I understand now that I'm beautiful. Do you understand what I mean? But I never in my life understood that. I never in my life until I was 43 years old, 42 years old, thought I was beautiful my entire life. Nobody told me I was. I never thought it. Yeah. And so it's also the particular body that I'm in that I didn't feel desirable. Yeah. And then it is the particular culture that I'm in that that is laden with fear. And then it is the particular protective religion that I'm in that says it's okay. You can just give everything over to Jesus and feel good. And maybe that's actually the answer. Maybe the first time I felt embodied is when I felt the Holy Ghost in me. When I felt, and I don't know if it is, when you talk about like the physics of it, I don't know why I felt so embodied. Like, I don't know if there is an actual spirit of God that just like sneaks into your lungs and your stomach and fills out your body edges, or if it is the actual collective vibration of co-creation that a church with tambourines and drums and African people are in together and we can levitate. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's the first time I felt present and alive and full and big and infinitesimal and huge at the same time, and a timber of like of life force. That's the first time I felt it, probably even before nature. But those two things, like being in church and then being in nature, have made me feel most alive. And then later in life, yes, being in a loving, committed relationship where I was like, well, we were physically intimate, like I feel alive then too. But early on, those were the things that made me feel most alive.
Oh, man. I also used to like nap. Like, we took a lot of naps in my household, and I used to like, they used to use it as punishment, but I'd be happy. It's like, I love a good slumber in the middle of the afternoon, and then I would wake up just feeling like I was so connected to myself. Just like, moment to slow it all down.
You, Vanessa, your pleasure is food.
Yeah, it really is. You're right. Oh my God. I used to take myself out to 5-star meals when like I was 15. Like as soon as I really had a little pocket money, I was trying to get a Caesar salad with shrimp and a medium baked potato. And I would leave school in the middle of the afternoon to go treat myself.
It's true. I've never seen somebody enjoy food more than you. Even when we was just going to Red Lobster and thought that was 5-star. You was just like,
I've been cooking every night.
You be enjoying it, and I just be looking like, well, my food don't taste this good.
You sure do.
Tastes better.
And that just happened to me. I know. It's awful when you're enjoying your food and somebody else is in it. Yeah. Oh, Morgan, y'all, we're talking day one. Pleasure principle is make love, and I wanted to start here because one is provocative, and this it even enticed what was just a beautiful conversation and just allows us some space to say there's not a lot of spaces where we can even talk about provocative stuff. But then two, it allows me to teach about or share about bell hooks. And first of all, Morgan, I was like, bell hooks is really like your favorite's favorite author, right? Like every Black woman who we admire, if you ask, they're going to say like amongst their authors, I think bell hooks is up there. And yet for me, I have genuinely always felt intimidated by her work. And it took me like 5 years to read All About Love. Just like it really did. It took me a long time. And I was like, I don't know if it's like a literacy thing because like that's a real thing or what it is, but I was like, wow, I'm grateful for Black History Bootcamp. I'm grateful for YouTube where there's a bunch of her lectures. I'm grateful for like all the other ways in which you can, her teachings are accessible because I have felt that her books are intimidating. And I just want to make her works more accessible to people who felt like me.
I'll plead the fifth on whether or not I'll finish the bell hook. It's kind of like Toni Morrison. Toni Morrison is past my pay grade and education level. I just be looking at Song of Solomon, page 38, and I just be like, let's go ahead and start over. Let's go ahead and start over because I need to wait for the movies to come out. Then I can read the book after I know the arc. So I kind of feel like that was bell hooks too. I feel like that. So I'm glad. Yeah. So tell me what you learned. Tell me what you learned so I could go out there.
First of all, do you remember when I spent one whole summer reading the Poisonwood Bible when we first moved to Atlanta and we didn't have any furniture? It's like one of the most relaxing times of my life. Like when I think about what serenity feels, it was just like reading that slow book, just meticulously slow every day. And not having anybody else to talk to. It was a good time. It was a relaxing time. There's something about your eyes and your tongue that are your pleasure centers. As your friend for 20 years, like you like to look at texture and color. It's why you're so fashion forward. You like to look at like things.
I do.
And then
you like your eyes to like be focused on like.
That's why I get overwhelmed by big stuff like ships. So I'd be like, this is too much. I wanted to share some health benefits about love because one of the things that I know for a fact is
What did you learn about bell hooks? Sorry to interrupt. What did you learn about bell hooks?
I'm gonna turn. No. We're gonna go back to bell hooks. But I'm saying the reason why bell hooks is so important. And it's not just theories or philosophies that she's providing. It's because scientifically, love keeps us alive longer. And so it's a crisis when we talk about how, I read a study that said 60% of Black women feel deprived physically of love and touch. And it impacts their blood pressure, it impacts our dopamine. And in fact, one of the studies in the National Health Institute said that feeling loved, cared for, and secure boosts your immune system by 80%. Just feeling love and secure boosts your immune system by 80%. So it's like these conversations are so essential because if we don't have love, we better learn how to make love. That's why this is called Make Love. If you don't have it, let us teach you how to make it. And bell hooks taught us how to make it. And so I want to play a clip right now. It's clip number one. And she provides a definition of what love is. And I think that having a definition of what love is a starting point for knowing how to call it in. So let's play that clip.
We begin to learn what love is, how to love. I mean, that's part of what I think is the magic of Sharon's book, is that really, it has a lot of how-to work in it. In many ways, it's a workbook, it's a handy book, because we don't know what to do. You know, I remember trying to tell my young lover at the time, who seemed not to comprehend love, I wrote on a little postcard thing, you know, love is a combination of six ingredients: care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, respect, and trust. And so if you don't know what you're doing, just pull out that little card and ask yourself, in what way does my action that I'm taking reflect these traits, these characteristics, these values, if you will. And so that I think, again, the question of love is the question of what to do. And that's what makes your book, Sharon, so powerful.
Thank you. Could you repeat the six?
Yeah.
Care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, respect, and trust.
Could you do it slower?
Care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, respect, and trust.
Care, commitment, knowledge, responsibility, trust. That's five. I missed one.
Respect and trust.
Yeah.
I know, because I was writing it down because that was gold. I was like, ooh, I'm about to use that like an Uno card. I would be like, reverse. Like, respect. Responsibility. That's so good.
It's so good. And that's one of the things that once I started to dive into the videos of Bell Hooks, and she has a couple of lectures that are really good at the New School and Conversations, this is what I loved about her. She is an academic who writes books that feel intimidating to people, and yet she understands how to break what needs to happen down in a practical way so that people can move into action. And her definition is one of those things. And she talks about that this is actually her greatest gift. And she said that somebody asked her, they said, you must get so tired of people saying, wow, your books changed my life. She said, I never get tired of people saying that my books changed your life. She said, that's the instruction for me to keep going. That's the instruction for me to keep writing. That's the instruction for me to get more specific. And so Bell Hooks, who, just some background on her, was born in Kentucky. And like, man, this must be the most dominant theme in Black History Bootcamp, Morgan, women changing their names. I think it is the most dominant theme that we have found in the women who we have uplifted here. But she was born Gloria Jean Watkins. Her great-grandmother was Bell Hooks. And she decided to adopt her great-grandmother's name, Bell Hooks, and then lowercase the name to make emphasis on the fact that she was honoring a legacy, not drawing attention to her work. And so she took her grandmother's name as a pseudonym for her writing. I don't actually think she ever legally changed her name from Gloria. I actually think Bell Hooks just became her public pseudonym for her writing. But she got that from her grandmother. And then she said she channeled her grandmother into her writing. She was a genius, literally, in this all-white town in Kentucky. She ended up going to Stanford. She went on to graduate school. At 19 years old, y'all, she wrote her first book, that Ain't I a Woman book, which was inspired by Sojourner. She wrote that at 19. And
Sojourner's Truth.
She's written over 30 books. Most people are in one accord that feminism itself has been completely redefined because of Bell Hooks' body of work, specifically because she lived at the intersection and challenged everybody like a pro and a champ. Like, my takeaway from watching her on video was that her posture was so unmoved by her exterior and so rooted in like what she thought of herself and what she knew of herself and what she knew of her work and what she knew of the injustices. And she wasn't like apologetic about it. I loved studying her for this. But so she's written over 30 books. She's a cultural critic to Tyler Perry, Beyonce. She started a lot of discourse in the country around like the over-sexualization of Black women, and are women like Beyonce contributing to that through our posture, which I totally disagree with. She talked about Tyler Perry and how he's made the revered grandmother fear of a deer now a laughingstock in our community. And she took problems with that. And mainly what she did is had an opinion and had different ideas that also came with solutions that weren't just complaining. She was just like, we need to evaluate critically the choices that we also make and then decide to make different choices in order to change. And her biggest foundational belief around love was that we had to learn it from community. And so I was like, that's why we do her on day one of this, because we are learning love from the Girl Trek community. We really are.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love
that,
too. Vanessa.
And I want to play.
I could see you studying her as like a leadership model. You could be like a Bell Hooks, because you kind of have that calm groundedness the way she does. You better study her interview and be out there. Just act like that. Just act like that. I'm gonna act like Toni Morrison when she be out there. You act like Bell Hooks.
I like it. I'm down for it. Those are two good role models. I want to play two clips of her that I think really are thought-provoking. One is she's talking to Gloria Steinem, and her and Gloria Steinem are talking about basically women needing to redefine themselves outside of romantic love only, because romantic love has been so harmful to us. And essentially by doing that, we cut ourselves off from all the other great deep wells of tentacle love that could be filling us up. So they're having that conversation. And then she says this, so I want to play clip number two.
Cast. These things are just, you know, so interwoven, and it's going to take time, because what we experienced in our households normalize. It's a miracle to me. It's a miracle to me that we know now we're not crazy. The system is crazy. I mean, this is huge that we that our consciousness has changed. And I feel, you know, I don't know. I really don't know whether there's time to do what we need to do. I mean, it's possible that this spaceship Earth is going to perish.
Well, I also think, you know, I've been reading, again, Fugitive Information by Kay Hagan, and I've been reading a lot of the works of early feminism where there was much greater emphasis on women getting away from men, getting away from the domestic household, getting away from the heteronormative as a way of making ourselves into the free woman warriors, independent beings that we want to be. And I've been checking my own self out. I mean, you all know who followed me, how long I've been saying I'm looking for love. And recently I actually asked myself, are you really looking for love, Belle? Are you really looking for a man? Are you really, because everywhere I turn, especially in quote, age-appropriate men, the over 50 crowd, I don't see anything but patriarchy. And I actually wake up and I'm happy to be in my house with me, because like Miss Gloria here, everything in my house loves me, honey. When I wake up in the morning, the objects in my life call out to me. I mean, I have Audre Lorde's Litany for Survival facing me right when I get out of bed. I have so many beautiful images created by women that face me as I go about my day. The artwork of Emma Amos, a very sad photo of Billie Holiday taken by the black photographer who's dead now, Minetta Sleet, who took photos for Life magazine. But everything in that space calls out to me.
But we should be able,
and that your
men
space
and women,
too.
Yeah.
Her space calls out to me with lots of objects I could take home.
And some of the same Emma Amos. We have a lot of the overlap here in our...
Thank you, Tyreen. That was instructional right there. It's an assignment for all of us right now on the walk to say what in our surroundings is calling out to us with love. Bell Hooks said, I wake up with the book that makes me feel loved next to my bed. I turn and look on the wall to the picture that makes me feel loved that I put on my wall to make me feel loved. And it's like she is calling in love from so many places. And so regardless of what season you are in your life, whether you're partnered up, whether you want to be partnered up, whether you're in transition or just trying to redefine yourself, you deserve love right now. We deserve to make love to ourselves right now. And we can all today just audit our bedroom, just look and see, like, what can we do? Morgan, I cleaned out I'm a Virgo, y'all. I don't even know how I live. I told Morgan, if ever my house gets how it had been over these last couple of months when I just was not feeling life, I was like, do you know? And she did know. She was like, your house do not need to be looking like that. You know that it matters to you, and it does. And like just cleaning my house and having it smelling so good, and the flowers and the breeze. Every day I feel like I'm satiating in my home. It feels like so warm and so safe. And I just want that for everyone, Morgan. And I think it's a practical thing that we can do.
Yes, and I'm learning how to say that. I ain't even in therapy. Yes, because I kind of disagree. I kind of disagree, I have to say. And don't write me no Bell Hooks Army email. You know the Bell Hooks fans do not play.
Yeah,
but I kind of disagree with Bell Hooks. Like when Gloria Steinem was like,
you know, Gloria Steinem is a white woman. And she's still alive. And shout out to Gloria. And shout out to Bell Hooks. But when Gloria Steinem was saying, like, she was thinking she was crazy in this romantic love, I started singing Crazy Love. Remember, give me love, 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 crazy love. I don't believe in crazy love. I just feel like love should not make you feel crazy. And I have had firsthand experience with that over the last couple of weeks. And if y'all feel crazy in your love, like, evaluate. Like, I'm not trying to dismiss the crazy that the patriarchy introduces into woman. Like, I'm just not trying to dismiss or argue that. The patriarchy introduces a whole level of crazy, capital C, into woman. I get it. And it be feeling good. Will you be having that black man looking at you and y'all be slow dragging and it just be feeling good and y'all be eating and y'all be blinking slow and y'all be laughing and y'all, like, it feels good. And I don't want the trauma response of saying that I want to wake up to a litany for survival book.
No, but shift your mindset. Shift your mindset to Abraham Hicks. Abraham Hicks says we got to live as is. So what I'm saying is, in the meantime of it, of your thing materializing, if it hasn't, you do got to be in the best vortex of calling it in.
That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. I'm not contending with what you're saying. I'm contending with what Bell Hooks said.
Bell Hooks, that you got to
say. She was like, am I really looking for love? That's what she said. And I don't want
to. Okay, it's about to get deeper. I'm mindful of time and I want to play this last clip then, because this is going to double down on what you
said. But I could say something. I got an opinion. I'm just saying.
I'm reinforcing your opinion with what she's about to say in this next clip.
Okay,
really,
let's go. Go ahead and reinforce.
Sort of was wondering, how do we understand and acknowledge a historical trajectory of Black women being subject to sexual commoditization and exoticization, but also create a liberatory sex positive framework for Black women in ways that honor our sexual agency?
I mean, I think that's the critical question. What does that liberatory sexuality look like? I mean, let me theorize that it may very well be that celibacy is the face of that liberatory sexuality. That I would rather not be sexual than to be.
No, that's making me uncomfortable.
I can't fit in that box, though.
I'm trying to be futuristic here. Well, but what does it mean to be able to say, I'd rather not be sexual than to be sexual in any context where I'm being mistreated, where I have doubt, where my feelings are not, where I am triggered as an abuse survivor or what have you? I mean, I'm just posing, what are our choices as we think about journeys to sexual freedom? What choices do we have? People don't ask me much. I guess I'm getting old. They used to ask me who I was having sex with and try to.
Yeah, that's what my question is too. Like, what are our choices? So it does feel good to have a man. It's delicious.
My point was not that it feels good to have a man. Don't have people writing me by restating my point. That's not my point.
Okay.
My point is that the polar opposite is not books and posters. My point is that if you are orienting toward bliss and you are orienting to what lights you up and pleases you, to have a definitive position on that is problematic and a trauma response. It is too safe.
What does that mean to have a definitive opinion on it? What does that mean?
She was celibate for 19 years.
Yeah, she was. But do you think,
that might be her choice, and I respect that choice, by the way. I respect that choice for people. I don't know her background. I don't know her choices, and maybe she was intergalactic and was able to please herself in ways that we would never understand. I'm just saying I feel responsible to the million people who listen to us to say you have to find your bliss, and if finding your bliss means being with somebody who is not perfect right now, but you are orienting toward what feels good And it feels better than it feels worse. It feels, if there's more good than there is bad in the relationship. I'm suggesting that maybe that's better than the Billie Holiday poster. And so I just don't like prescriptions for other people's lives in that way. And it's the reason why feminism has always been hard for me to swallow wholesale. Now, down with patriarchy, I got it. I'm in. Leader of all kinds of things that are very feminist, I get it. But I don't ever want to prescribe to something where I don't have choice. So I do love the way that Bell Hooks ended with like find and choose for yourself. But in that initial Gloria Steinem conversation, it felt like a binary.
Or a binary, okay.
It felt binary. It felt like man or no man. I choose no man and I choose books. And I was just like, well, I choose man and books. That's what I'm saying. Right. And so like, I do like the way that it ended. All right, y'all, don't write me.
Okay, yeah, no.
This is a good combo. This is a good combo. I also just want to say that Bell Hooks died at 69 years old. She recently passed away. And I am a fan of Black women authors, and also we do Black History Bootcamp, and this is a dominant theme of almost every woman we talk about, Morgan. And I just want to uplift that, like Lorraine Hansberry and June Jordan, like there is something where I don't know why we don't know what lifestyle Bell Hooks was living, but I was just like, how did she pour all this into this and then die at 69 years old? And I just don't want that for us. And there's this like poem I used to love where it just says like, our martyrdom can't be our message. And I just want to start back at the beginning of what this conversation was with just like, we have to not just walk, we have to make like daily by daily, minute by minute choices around like, how do we create homeostasis in our bodies? Like, how do we create an inner harmony that breeds health and not disease? And we have to do the things that make our bodies feel that way. And it's good for us to end on this part of the conversation because those things are so different minute to minute for different people. You got to have an arsenal. You got to have a bag full of tools and tricks that works for you. Yeah.
It's so true. And I can say, first of all, I think Bell Hooks is smiling down on us for at least having great conversations, even if they don't have all the sophisticated language that the woman who asked the question does. We're just regular women walking down regular streets, have brave conversations about our lives. So I'm just like, because I believe that actually the toxicity of judgment of others is part of the poison that we're swallowing as Black women.
Right. Yeah. I hear all of that.
Part of why I've been intimidated by even all of the people who have been played, like Gloria Steinem, Bell Hooks, and that smart sister who was talking, is because I feel like I don't ever do the right things or say the right things. And I don't want that stress.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel pleasing to me. I would rather just go, sit out on my farm and play the guitar. You understand me? Like, and be that person. Call me country, call me whatever. But like,
for me, Morgan, it all the things and the double tap to what you are saying, what is coming up for me as you are saying is that what she was saying felt so relevant to me because I have at times cut myself off from the goodness around me, like and I know that intimately when you get into a dark place, that it almost just doesn't feel good to feel good. And so it's like there is something, though, that where we just have to, as a spiritual muscle, just find the ways in which we can automate the feel good so that it's surrounding us is like also the thing that like when I think about like
and
our
that
spaces,
you have control. Yeah. And that you have control. Yeah. You're not deferring the control. Yeah. I guess that because for me, that goes without saying. So it felt like a full choice. But it doesn't go without saying, actually. And thank you for saying that you have needed to automate those things in your life. So then what is in automating? Because there are at least half the women out there are listening to and agree with you. What have you done in order to do that?
Such a good question. I have, one, really take time to make my space my space. And that means I've been saying no to a lot of things, including travel to events and stuff I want to go to, because I just felt exhausted and I couldn't maintain my home and do those things and work. So I made a choice and I just let some things off my plate so that I could have more time to invest in the things that I really thought were going to be foundational to me and my healing. So it's been just like staying at home, actually having the energy to want to mop the floor with Lysol and just, you know, and those things I noticed like manifest then other things that have felt just made me to feel good. There's that. My girl trek walks, this 21-day challenge, this is the automation of my life. I promised to God, I was like, thank God boot camp is here, 21 days. I committed to it every day. I would get my email and the email is an instruction. And like I told you, even I was like, I'm looking forward to this so much. I like needed it. So boot camp is an automation. I think I joined a yoga studio and got the $99 all free package. And it's like, I just have a place to go now. And my like kind of, ooh, I could sit here and stew and feel bad, or I could just pop up and do something. So those are three things that I have. What things do you use? And then we'll get ready to close out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you're talking about that. Yeah, it's interesting that you're talking about that in response to finding love with a man. It's just interesting to me. Because are you saying that you took up so much space with trying to find love from other that you didn't do those things? What is the connection? I don't understand the connection.
Oh, I wasn't connecting it to a man. I was connecting it to the fact that I was cutting myself off from goodness. And I was cutting myself off from goodness just from self-pity and depression. And I just was like, what can I do to change the environment of my life? And that's what I was, my takeaway from the bell hooks thing was just like, regardless of the man is in the picture or not, this is instructional to create an environment that makes you feel loved. And I just, and for me, it's just like, so that's
takeaway. All of those things, I mean, obviously I don't have a problem with any of those things. I think they're great. I have a problem with saying that you're deferring love and or that you are kind of isolating yourself into a love that is your cavern of love. You understand what I mean? Because I got it. I'm tracking. What do I do? I'm trying to feel like what freedom looks like in how to embody freedom. That's what I'm trying to like do every single day. And so every morning at 8:30 I take a walk, and I take a walk without no music and without no phone, and I just walk slow. And I just walk 15 minutes out, I turn around, I walk 15 minutes home, and I walk with nature, with God, with self, and just try to get back into my body. I do that every single day. And then I start my work, and half the time I'll be late to work because I choose late. I just choose late.
Right.
This morning I had my ankles was ashy, and I was like, but I was running late, and I was like, ash? Or lateness. I choose late.
Yes, that's a good choice.
Yeah, so that's the first thing. The second thing is if I am free, I am then free to eat what makes me feel good. So I'm just eating only things that make me feel good. I'm not eating anything else. So those are two things that I've started to do, is walk every morning and eat what makes me feel good in order to feel free. And then I think third and last is that I'm trying to love a Black man. I'm trying so hard every day. It doesn't feel good. And maybe it's why I'm so sensitive. It doesn't feel good all the time. But boy, is the option to give up on Black love?
Right.
I don't think it is. I just don't think it is. And I think we could talk about love all we want, but we gotta sometimes flex it. It's a muscle, right? We gotta flex it and try it, and like, you know, whoever you love. And I just think, I don't know. I'm into like Black women feeling like the 2 or 3 year gathered kind of love, not the isolated kind of love, because I think isolation itself is deadly.
Yeah, and that was bell hooks agreed with you. So where 2 or 3 are gathered was her philosophy that really love starts at the community level, and that we can't even model it at the individual romantic level until we've experienced a where 2 or 3 are gathered abundant love like that. So, yeah. Thank you all for walking with us. It felt like I was like, this was a walking date, really, quite frankly. And so I hope that you felt like you loved on yourself through this conversation. You might have got in a few extra miles because we went a little long. We'll be back here live tomorrow at noon Eastern time. make sure you actually program Black History Bootcamp into your phone, because we are your friends and we want to be there so that you know when to call and walk with us. And we're going to close out just with a little soft song to music. I will talk to you tomorrow, Morgan.
Bye, y'all.
I'll probably talk to you in 30 minutes, but tomorrow. Okay.